We'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe,
everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, talking about G.I. Joe adjacent today. Let's get excited about that. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
Ugh, we are, how are we still so bad at this after 10 years?
That wasn't me missing my cue. That was me given the hairy eyeball to the person who picked this. What is
Chan is doing a silent protest, just so you guys know. He's not what happy we're doing this today.
This
I think
bullshit.
It's worthwhile.
By the way, Chan, when you hate everything, it is not as effective. Like if, like when I hate stuff, people are like, oh, wow, Gina usually like stuff or find something positive to say about things.
Right.
This is unusual. I'd better listen and find out why she hated it. But you just hate everything. So it's not as effective when you're like, oh, this is awful. This is awful. It fades into white noise.
Did you watch this?
I did. And it was like an extended Robot Chicken episode, which is why tonight my name is Robot Chicken Butts.
Oh, I agree 100%. Only not funny and not technically proficient in any way, shape, or form.
Oh,
if this were made by a 9-year-old, I'd be like, oh, that was pretty good. Good job, kid. Let me give you a pat on the head because you're a third grader and that is the level that you should be doing. This, I want to know why Ray won't start with the next series. He's throwing all this shit in the way. Like,
we're completists. You don't get to skip things that you don't like.
Yeah. This came out a year before that. So, Chan, we're just trying to stay generally in order.
This was not a real thing.
It had a commercial for the live action movie, so that makes it a real thing.
Yeah, okay, so here's the deal. That's Robert Clark Chan, our Naismith. Also joined by TV's Gina Ippolito. Please check out her horror channel at newrockstar.com/ What's the deal, Gina? Let's just plug it at the top.
Oh, it's called The Witching Hour. The YouTube channel is at Witching Hour NR for New Rockstars. At Witching Hour NR. Go subscribe. We've been up for a week. We got 12,200 subscribers so far.
I am deeply impressed by that. That's the power of the new rock stars. That's what I'll say right now, and I'm into it. I like it.
Yeah.
I was maybe, as if I didn't know, the second subscriber to the channel.
Yeah, you were. You were. There was talk of it at work. Like, whoa, Ray's in there early.
Yeah, and thank you for hipping me to it, allegedly. And I'm just excited. I found it randomly when it was a private channel and I was still able to join it. Anyway, we're talking about G.I. Joe, the invasion of Cobra Island. We talked about maybe doing this a month ago, 2 months ago, and Chan was like, no shot in hell. And I said, let's hear it out. And then to my general surprise, Gina Ippolito said, let's hear it out. And I said, I'm going to watch it. This is officially made by Paramount as an advertisement for the G.I. Joe live action movie back in 2009, which makes it real. Is it canon? Don't worry about that. But is it a real G.I. Joe thing this show should hit at some point for completionism? Yes.
In 2009, RM Productions Limited was contracted by Paramount Pictures Corp to produce a viral marketing campaign for G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. A viral marketing campaign. Let's check real quick. This thing go viral? According to Wikipedia, it went viral. How many hits has it had in 16 years?
203,000. Not bad.
For 16 years online?
203,000. New Rockstars gets that on videos in like 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Which means that this was nothing.
Yeah, but they didn't pay hardly anything for it, so I don't
maybe
see
they,
where the
maybe
loss
they put
happened.
It on a maybe they put it on the DVD extras for the live action movie.
Oh, maybe they did. Did you ever think about that, Chan?
Did you?
No. There's no chance I thought about it at all. Because I don't think about things. But I did watch this. So here's the deal. I'm going to set it up right now. I watched the two-part Invasion of Cobra Island, G.I. Joe, colon, the Invasion of Cobra Island, parts one and two. They use the G.I. Joe toys to make a little short film that is an episode of G.I. Joe, like kind of based on the comics a little bit. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I said there's enough production value here and enough G.I. Joe goodness here. I thought they had some good jokes in here.
Are you shitting me?
Not at all. I thought that for what they had to work with, they did a very, very good job putting this together to make something fun. In fact, I'm giving the YouTube video a like right now. Right now.
They had the same equipment that Robot Chicken has. They could have done stop motion. They didn't. They just moved things. They moved action figures around.
It was
like
more charming.
A 9-year old.
You don't see hands in there.
You don't see a single hand.
And
that's the no hands guarantee.
What is this Clutch Cargo bullshit where they're apparently they're using 3D technology to make the mouths move? They might as well have just green screened in a mouth like the old Conan O'Brien sketch / Clutch Cargo, the OG. This is an abomination.
You're an abomination, Chan. You can't call everything an abomination.
What are you, Leviticus? I was the one that liked the fucking movie. You were the ones that were shitting all over it.
Well, look, I think this explains our problem.
This is going to be maybe a wild take. I like this better than I like the live action movie.
I literally have not liked anything we have done in 10 fucking years less than this.
That is, come on, Chan. There's a point where kayfabe hits ridiculousness.
I
don't believe
joking.
The character of Robert Clark Chan right now.
This was, to consider it in league with anything that has been professionally made.
We watched the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles music video for like Christmas.
That's
better than this.
If memory serves, there were like two jokes in there that I thought were pretty well done.
See, there were two jokes in here I thought were pretty well done.
There were not.
There were some little gags and bits and character work that were done in this that I had it was absolutely joyful. And seeing all of the toys.
They could have committed to comedy or straight up seriousness. They did not.
No, they split the difference. They went tweener. Yeah. Hard to do.
Yes, and they didn't do it. They did
I would argue that, in fact, they did do it. And they pulled it off with some appropriate, silly action and some silly gags on top of it. You got Cobra soldiers quaking in their boots. You got a statue falling on a guard.
Why?
Who is afraid Snake Eyes is going to murder him. In a bit that I enjoyed.
Gina, back me up. The dude had a gun.
Yeah, I think for the amount of time it took to watch this, I think this was fine. I think this was fine. Some of the jokes worked. Some of them didn't. I liked seeing all the toys. I enjoyed it more than the movie because it was 1/32nd its time length.
Agree. Full agreement. This wasn't a chore to watch. I felt that this one went down smooth, as we say on this show. An easy watch. It was only 13 minutes long.
Also, you know what? Like, story-wise, this felt like an OG episode of original G.I. Joe. Like,
Thank you.
Cobra has kidnapped Scarlet. They're holding her at their secret base. They've got to go and rescue Scarlet, but also they've set explosives.
What was the plan?
Their plan was to get bioweapons, and they not only defeated G.I. Joe,
got
the bioweapons dossier, they captured Scarlet before the thing even started.
There was no specificity. It was bioweapons.
There's not specificity in the original G.I. Joe either.
Of course there is. They have
no, there's
ridiculous-
not.
But they're like, we have heavy water and we're going to make a weather dominator that dominates the weather.
That's no, sometimes it was literally just, hey, let's Yes, you're right that it's missing the B section of this plan. Like, let's build a bioweapon and then hold all the nations hostage, like, and then make all the nations each pay us $1 billion. It's missing the end part of the plan. Yes. But honestly, if it means a shorter watch for me in my busy day, I'm on board.
Absolutely. Look, the episode begins with the Checkpoint Alpha toy set, which I love. I don't own that one. I probably should find it before it becomes like $500. And then it's
just
moves
go look
over.
On eBay. Look on eBay. Look on
What's
eBay.
eBay, Chan.
Ooh, I love eBay.
eBay is like eBay, but you can't buy anything. It's just pictures of toys.
Ube is a delicious flavor.
Yeah. They got ube ice cream right now at Disneyland, and it's great.
Yeah, you know what? Fair. Purple. I like purple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it pans over to the entire G.I. Joe headquarters playset, which I did own as a kid. It's somewhere. My cat peed in one of the bays of it. I don't know why I'm talking about that, but that's a thing that did happen, and that's my one memory now, is the smell of cat pee from my G.I. Joe headquarters. That's a trauma I'm now sharing with our audience. And we cut inside to G.I. Joe has been defeated. Duke is radioing in. Wow, hard to say. And he says, look, they got the bioweapons. We did capture a bunch of them, but they were ultimately successful. They kidnapped Scarlet. They're taking her back to their base. Destro is a champion. And you know what? Yeah. Is the animation, look, is the facial animation on the toys a little wonky? Yes.
It's grotesque.
Does that matter? No.
Yes.
This is full on Team America meets Robot Chicken in the world
what
of
did
G.I.
they
Joe.
Do? The mouths were a little bit more disturbing in this. What do they usually do in Robot Chicken? Is it it's claymation mouths, right?
It's not even that.
So, yeah.
Claymation? They just animate a mouth over the picture and then they just, put it on top.
That is not how it works.
It's a fake ass looking mouth, but that's what they do. Do you think they put it on the toy?
What? No, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's,
yes.
But it looks like stop motion as opposed to this.
It does look like stop motion. This is made cheaper. They use them. These are not the original figures. I don't remember the figures that came out around 2009. These are some updated, slightly better and better articulated figures. And there's a lot of cool ones in here. We get everybody. We get Major Blood. We get Scrap Iron. Obviously, Destro returns to meet Cobra Commander. And let me say right now, the voice of Cobra Commander, he's not Frank Todaro. He's not Chris Latta. He's maybe the third best Cobra Commander that we've gotten in G.I. Joe. I'll say it.
If there is a single voice in here that isn't whatever RM Productions is, what do? They pictures. They do fashion photography. Is that what they are? If any of these people is above the level of, in voice acting of a fashion photographer, I will eat my hat. They're all
play a little bit of Cobra Commander. Hit me up with 145 of part one. I think this Cobra Commander is okay.
Yeah, I think to me this sounds like Cobra Commander if someone was playing him in an improv scene, but that person at least knew what Cobra Commander sounds like.
Totally down.
And like same with all the other characters too. Like when they get to Shipwreck, it's like someone saying this, like someone talking like this. Like it doesn't sound like a professional voice actor, but it does sound like someone in a pretty good improv scene doing a pretty decent impression.
Are these coffee stains?
No, Cobra Cola.
Why do I get the feeling that everything did not go as planned?
Not bad.
A bad job. Good
Chan
enough.
Chan just hates it. For because he just likes to hate things because it's cool. It's cool to hate things. Chan wants to be a cool guy who hates stuff.
We're doing the opposite of G.I. Joe, the live action movie, where me and Gina were honest and Chan was not. Now me and Gina are being honest and Chan is once again not, for the sake of the show. And Chan, I salute you. Thank you. We need a counterbalance for all the positivity this deserves.
You know what? I don't like that I've been agreeing with Ray so much lately.
Yeah,
I think
it's
I
kind of
to...
like when all of a sudden you find everybody you're agreeing with out in the world are Nazis, and you're like, oh, hey, wait a minute.
I think that I should probably schedule my annual physical to make sure that I don't have brain parasites.
I do like that meme that says, hey, man, both sides are making good points right now. Are they? Are they really, though?
You guys know it's Fat Bear Week?
Is this where you gain a bunch of weight and watch the latest season of The Bear?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on board. I just haven't watched The Bear yet.
It's gonna bring our country together. People voting for the fattest bear will bring our country together.
I mean, I assume I win. Look at me. Or don't. Probably preferred.
Chan blew his brains out during the commercial.
He showed up wearing his finest suit. That made me nervous. I'm going to say right now, depiction of, we got Firefly. We got the Crimson Twins. We got everybody. All the Cobras are in this.
Yeah, everyone I've wanted back for a while now is in this.
Some would argue we're so back right now. I would just say, better depiction of the Baroness than Sienna Miller. I'll put it out there. I was good with it.
Explain this one to me.
We searched her thoroughly. When I say we, I mean the Crimson Twins, naturally.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, the Baroness gives him a look.
Yep.
Right.
After he says that. Thoroughly.
I thought he was saying that to Cobra Commander, and I thought there was some sort of joke about how, like, the Crimson Twins are gay and something along those lines. But
you're thinking too hard about it, Chan.
No, that was
I don't
want my girlfriend to beat me up joke.
Yeah, I am, because you know what? If you just cut to an action figure, there are no goddamn facial expressions.
Well,
so,
both Ray and I got it. So I think if Ray is getting jokes that you're not getting, maybe you need to search for brain parasites.
Ray didn't actually say that he got it. He was just quiet while you explained it. So it's entirely possible that he did not notice any of this.
Chan, for the record, I totally got it.
Mm-hmm.
That was not confusing. Chan, this is not Legion season one. This is not confusing. It's pretty straightforward. I'm confused how you're not following it.
Because it's trash.
But it's easy to follow, Chan.
But why would you?
They bring her back. There's a bunch of weird... It does get a little bit weird when they're like, she's very shapely. Oh, we all agree she's shapely.
Why has she got to be the one to be rescued? For fuck's sake.
Listen, that's usually my line and was my line in the movie. But since this is a short, I think that they were just going for the easiest thing. I think they were like, Scarlet gets kidnapped. We can bring we can make some jokes about how clearly Snake Eyes wants her.
Yeah, the whole bit is like, we didn't even have to say in our plan that Snake Eyes is going to go rescue Scarlet. That part was understood. Excellent. Yes, that's a better Snake Eyes and Scarlet dichotomy than we got in the live action movie. By a lot. By a lot, Chan. That movie you love so much with the Wayans brother.
That managed to clear the bar that has been set by this thing doesn't speak well necessarily of the movie. It just speaks of how shit this is.
Listen, so far you've played one soundbite that had a pretty decent joke in there.
Was that it? Nope. I did not laugh.
Chan, you're contractually obligated in this episode not to laugh.
Yeah.
It would be a breach of contract if you laughed. How about with the fact that a USS...
That I'm getting paid for this.
We get a USS flag, actual toy set, with like vehicles landing on it, an ace... flying around and hit me up with the 401. Hit me up with a sound clip because we're going to hit it again. We get a decent shipwreck and a decent Polly and maybe the most comics accurate Snake Eyes voice we've heard yet in G.I. Joe.
I'll set up a landing beacon for the rest of the team. Why don't you ignore me and go rescue Scarlet? Don't forget to cut the main power for ourselves and bring me back a souvenir.
I wish I was a ninja!
And I wish you were a sultry sea siren.
And I wish you were a sultry sea siren. This is prime Shipwreck and Polly. Is it, you know, it's not Neil Ross. Let's keep it real. That's a brilliant man. I'll take it. This is the realest Shipwreck we've gotten since the original series.
You know,
he can't disagree.
I think his brain is just melting. Or Egon stabbed him in the gut during their argument and he's been slowly bleeding out this whole time.
You know, that would track based on what I know.
Bleeding to death and then having to watch this again.
I'll be honest, Chan bleeding to death from being stabbed by his child while forced to Naismith something me and you generally liked makes a lot of sense cosmically.
I mean, if that was in your obituary in the newspaper, I would be like, if all of a sudden we stopped talking and I didn't see you for 30 years and it was like, oh, Chan was stabbed by one of his kids, slowly bled out while talking about a podcast, like an episode of a cartoon that he didn't like for a podcast, I'd be like, wow, that sounds exactly right. That's exactly how I thought Chan would die.
We've been doing this for 10 years.
Bad job you for not following up for 30 years. That's not a good look.
Well, I mean, you don't know what I'm doing. I assume I'm the Queen of Monaco by then.
For all we know. Sorry, Chan, I interrupted you. Please continue.
We've been doing this for a long time. When we started doing this, it was fun to make fun of things that are bad. I am older. I am much closer to death. I have so little interest in seeing things that do not bring me joy. I have no interest in hate watching anything. I only want to watch things that I like. And if something doesn't make me happy, I just don't want to be here. This is not good. And I don't get any joy out of things that aren't making me happy.
Which is odd because this brought me a lot of joy. And thank God we're doing G.I. Joe Renegades next. Supposedly, in many people's opinion, the second best or third best G.I. Joe property.
Or seventh best or sixth best. Who can remember?
One
it
of
generally
those
rates pretty high on people's lists. The only question is, did they like Resolute or not? That's really
what,
it.
What'd they think of this? What'd they think of this? Make Chan's head explode.
I don't know that they watched
this,
honestly. But like, we have
next we have to watch all of the Robot Chicken G.I. Joe shorts. I assume there's 3,420 of them.
You know what? That's a good point.
Official Hasbro.
Those are not official, Chan, but I think they're worth a watch.
Neither is this.
They did a great job with this. So Snake Eyes busts in to cut the power to the Cobra base. They put like bug eyes on a Cobra soldier who doesn't want to fight him, who backs into a statue that collapses on him. And I'm like, this is great. This is the soul of G.I. Joe. They have the actual Terrordrome playset. And once they all get the signal from Snake Eyes that the power's cut, G.I. Joe shows up in the hovercraft. They crash in through the hall. Snake Eyes running through the Terrordrome hallways, taking out soldiers by punching, kicking, headbutting, and sorting people. And then he gets all the way to his destination. And what do we get? Two throwing stars in the wall as he's saving Scarlet. Who is it? We know who it is. It's Storm Shadow. Played very, very well. Again, a better job of the Storm Shadow Snake Eyes dichotomy than the G.I. Joe live action movie that this is representing.
Is it though?
Yeah. This is a fun little fight with figurines.
Snake Eyes empties his Uzi out and Storm Shadow like hits every single bullet, knocks them out of the way. And which case they get a sword fight, a ninja battle that's about to happen. And spoiler alert, Storm Shadow wins the battle because that's what happens in real G.I. Joe. They don't have one fight and Snake Eyes dominates him. That's shitty. in a real G.I. Joe ninja battle, Storm Shadow always wins. This shitty short, according to Robert Clark Chan, gets G.I. Joe 1,000 times more than the multi-million dollar movie property. And that's why I thought it was worth doing. Unknowing is half the podcast.
Real G.I. Joe is falling backwards into a statue rather than using the gun that you have in your hands. He drops his gun because he's so scared, and he walks backwards and trips over a velvet rope, and the statue lands on him. That's okay. Real G.I. Joe, is it?
That might have been Deke era, but the rest of it is real G.I. Joe, and I loved it either way.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Evil viruses are attacking the world's computers, and the computer warriors have been generated to stop them. A soccer trophy changes into an evil techno tank, forcing the computer warriors down. Hiding in a Pepsi can, the computer warriors fight back and deliver a direct hit. But the viruses keep coming, so the computer warriors convert a clock into a digital laser blaster and wipe out the virus air attack.
Yeah!
Computer warriors, expect the unexpected. Each sold separately. Computer and pencil sharpener available fall 1990, only from Mattel.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
I feel like someone with AI could make this today. Not that I support that. But if you wanted to, we might do it on Knowing is Half the Podcast.
Do what?
It would be the last episode of Knowing is Half the Podcast.
100%. If you make me watch something like this again, it will be the last episode that I am on.
Thankfully, I have not heard that they have made another one of these for G.I. Joe Retaliation. The next live action property.
Well, Ray, we got a couple weeks to make another one ourselves and then force Chan to watch it.
Oh, I'm making something.
200,000 views over 16 years. Do you think that Hasbro looked at that and thought, or Paramount, I guess, said, you know what, that was a good use of any money. If this thing costs $0, it would still have been a waste of money.
The soul is there, Chan. We're about to do our big vehicle fight. We got Trouble Bubbles. We got Asps. We got Rattlers. We got all the characters showing up. We got G.I. Joe dropping Aw Strikers. We got the whole deal. We got the hovercraft. We get land battles. We get sea to land battles. We got Lady J crushing people. We got a ninja battle as well done as could be possible with two action figures. I felt the emotion dripping off both of them as Snake Eyes gets slowly defeated by Storm Shadow and loses articles of clothing. He gets like his sleeve and part of his shirt ripped off. They do some very high-tech backflips in the air. They added little bullet-like shooty things to the G.I. Joes on the ground. The Rattler is like on fire as it's crashing. And this leads us all to two small children who just want to go fishing on Cobra Island.
And then he disappears in a puff of smoke somewhere? Well,
Storm Shadow is winning, so Snake Eyes pulls out a gun. What the
fuck? But he
had
a gun right from the beginning. He tried to shoot him with a gun. And there's a running gag that's very funny, which is even if you're like a foot away, no one can hit anyone.
It's great. Also, they understand the soul of the property.
Oh, because G.I. Joe had a lot of bullets and whatnot in the cartoons? Any of the
cartoons?
They
did use lasers, yes. Oh, but I'll take
it. That seems like a pretty easy thing they could have done to establish the soul of G.I.
Joe.
But
they clearly wanted the joke of seeing the empty shell casings at their feet.
Yes. Also, they were trying to set up the live action movie, which didn't use lasers.
Uh-huh. In fact, they did use lasers. They used those force cannons.
Not really, though.
And they didn't. Did they use bullets at all?
Tons of bullets in that movie.
Did Cobra? Because I thought they were all using
Cobra those. Had the future weapons, but yes, the regular soldiers had bullets.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have anything to say about then, Chan.
Yeah, what's up? Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I didn't like that Snake Eyes pulled out a pistol when he when Storm Shadow won, which then obviously Storm Shadow left because, like, I thought we were having like an honorable ninja fight.
Wait, I thought he left for some other reason. Like, I thought something else happened.
No. He pulls a gun.
A gun at the beginning, so that doesn't make any sense.
No,
he had an Uzi at the beginning.
He used up all the bullets and dropped it. And then he pulls out a pistol at the end of the fight.
The thing is, Storm Shadow doesn't give a shit about the mission in this case. He's only there for the honor. And yes, Snake Eyes pulls out a pistol because he's all about the win, because Snake Eyes is getting his ass kicked. And Snake Eyes doesn't like that. I like the little turn. I think it's a big character moment.
Is that a thing that Snake Eyes does in the cartoons?
Well, when we do our rewatch of all of original G.I. Joe, we're going to have to see for ourselves, Chan.
When
let's
you do
just
the rewatch,
mentally
you
bank this, look it up. And then we'll figure it out. And then we'll mentally figure it out. How about Destro lifting up Cobra Commander by one hand and going to strike him and being stopped by Zartan?
Yeah. And so
I love this moment. I love the fact that Destro's like, well, F y'all. He takes his bioweapons, puts it back in the briefcase, and just leaves with the Baroness. And Cobra Commander's like, yeah, I don't need this. And then he realizes that this base is actually effed, puts Firefly in charge. You can't tell me this isn't funny. When Firefly goes to do the self-destruct sequence and 9,000 folders appear and he can't figure out where it is. I thought this bit was very, very funny.
Yeah, this bit is good. This is the type of thing that at New Rockstars we would examine every folder. And the one I did not do that, but the ones that I saw were pretty funny. Like, there's some recipes in there, other funny stuff.
I got a freeze frame here. There's one that's just folders, things to know, things you shouldn't know, for your eyes only, for my eyes only.
Yeah,
charts, graphs, pictographs. Cool
Asian
stuff.
Contacts,
awesome picks.
Asian contacts. Oh, there's Asian contacts again.
Asian contacts, Chinese food, files for filing, evil things, poems. Like, this is great. I mean, look, you can't tell me this is not a good bit. I won't believe you.
It's a good bit.
I can tell you that it's not a good bit.
It's a good bit.
It's a good bit. I laughed out loud for the second time. When that appeared on screen, I was like, Firefly is getting effed up by too many folders and can't find the self-destruct button. That's really fun. At this point, G.I. Joe enters the base. They knock down the Cobra banners and they sort of take over everything. But Firefly has one more trick to go because Firefly is not a bee. So he pulls out a pistol and just doesn't even mess around. He starts shooting. He finally finds it. And what is it called? Gone in 60 seconds. That's very funny. That's a Michael Bay movie, Chan. Stars
sounds
a lot of famous
like,
people.
Sounds like a lot of.
And then we get the bit again where Firefly empties his clip in a Pulp Fiction-esque moment to Stalker and Beachhead, misses every shot while they stare at each other, and then they just knock him out. Look, I love Firefly. I you know, he's a comedy character in this, not my favorite, but I'm here for it because I think it's amazing. Third time I laughed.
I thought this whole thing could have used more jokes.
Agree.
But the joke hit rate in here is about 50%, which is better than the average improv show.
Average sketch show is only 25%.
It had to be a lot funnier or a lot less funny. And it was not.
Jesus. It was the wrong kind of funny.
If it was a lot funnier or less funny, you also would not have been satisfied.
I would have been unsatisfied in a different way.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Did you notice the shirts that the two kids, that the fishing kids who got stuck on the dock and some reason Cobra like is going to rip out the dock, they're wearing a Hasbro and a Paramount shirt, which made me laugh. Fourth gag, and I enjoyed it. The kids are drowning. They have sharks in the water around them, and G.I. Joe has to leave them. Duke's about to pull them out of the water, and then he stops and turns to the camera about like a PSA or something.
Yeah.
And that's the next time I laughed.
That's the only bit that I will concede is well constructed. Because when the kids first showed up, I was like, what the fuck is this? And then when, you know, it's like, oh, right, we're going to reference the PSAs. That's perfectly acceptable. Didn't laugh because the rest of it was, I was not in a happy place. But like, I can acknowledge that the construction of that was correct.
My only wish for this was like, I felt like the kids should have gotten eaten by the sharks.
I think they did. They just didn't show it.
But like, it's because it seems like they're setting the joke up to be like, oh, like they always do PSAs in the midst of dangerous things. And this time the kids died.
Yes, I got that vibe.
That would have been a funny bit. Should have done that.
So, Chan, let's talk. Let's break this down. Let me turn this chair around, turn my hat backwards, and then sit down.
You going to talk to me about Jesus now?
Always.
You know, someone
always
else
wants to.
Someone else stopped things in the middle of the action to give a PSA. Someone else did that 2,000 years ago. Someone else was a cool rebel.
Is G.I. Joe that old? Were there Roman graffiti saying Yo Joe?
Could be. Are you just having a bad day? I just got to ask because this was delightful. This is the kind of thing you should have enjoyed on some level. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you didn't give it any appreciation or run when you probably should have. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about it?
I think if you check the Discord after this drops, you're going to find a lot of people agreeing with me.
Well, here's the deal. You can hit me up at AlmightyRay316 on Threads. You can hit up our Discord channel or Patreon, patreon.com/knowinghalfthepodcast. I want to hear from you. That's the end of the episode. This is going to be one of the shortest episodes in history because it's a 12, 13 minutes of stop motion action figure robot chicken animation.
Not stop motion.
Stop motion in my heart.
Yeah.
At some point, the camera stopped and there was motion. Good enough for me.
I know that it is.
You know that it is.
Mm-hmm. Because you
not
have
tricking here.
Such low standards that there's a limitless amount of things that would be good enough for you.
Yes. And I enjoy life a lot more with Robert Clark Chan.
The weird thing is, during the day, I'm the happy chipper guy at work.
Yeah, right.
And everybody's like, oh man, I fucking hated this. I was like, I don't know, I kind of liked it. Ooh, pretty good. So I don't know
Jen,
what
you take on reverse energy of your situation.
That is true.
If everyone
that,
at work
you're
is
a
miserable,
contrarian. Yeah,
you're happy one. You're a contrarian. Thank you.
Yeah. You're a psychic vampire, like on
what we do in the shadows.
Like if other people are happy, you like suck that out of them. If other people are sad, you're happy.
Yeah. You're going to go into work tomorrow and by random coincidence, two people are going to be saying like, I saw the stop motion G.I. Joe thing, Invasion of Cobra Island. I didn't care for it very much. You're going to go, you know what? It was honestly underappreciated, you guys.
No. First off, I'm going to say it's not stop motion. How dare you?
Yeah. I'm just saying right now, that you do appreciate, I feel like you do appreciate it, but for the sake of contrarian's sake, you're pretending to hate it more. This is easily not in the bottom half of things that we've watched on this show.
Mm.
There are jokes that landed. There was a soul to it. There was G.I. Joe being represented fairly accurately. This is well enough to get my stamp of approval. It's not like I'm saying go out and watch it, but maybe go out and watch it. It's not very long, and you can have it in your repertoire.
It's very bad, and you will deeply regret having spent 13 of your precious life minutes on this thing.
Gina, break the tie.
You can watch this on 1.5 speed, and it'll be done in 6 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Maybe
not the worst
wrong,
idea.
But...
Maybe not the worst. Anyway, that is literally our episode today. This might be the shortest episode in who would win? Oh my God, I did it again. And knowing is half the podcast history.
What's who would win?
I have no idea.
That Gina's going to be on pretty soon.
What?
Never heard of it.
I heard a rumor. Guys, I haven't asked her yet.
Oh my God. I told you people, I hate podcasts.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.